Now it's time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast, the ads and the introduction. Now the introduction is very important because as you'll see, once again, we jump straight into talking shit and we forget to introduce our guest. We forget to talk about anything they've done in the past. So if I didn't do this little bit at the beginning, you would just hear voices and have no idea what's going on. So at least now you're going to know who's on the other side when we're talking. Before we get into that, make sure you check out www.dirtycleaneats.com or .com.au. Both redirect to the same place. Check out all of our lovely products. And by lovely products, I mean a couple bits of merch that are being modeled fantastically or terribly by James, depending on your inclination. And what I really mean by that is check out Jammu Tonic. It's cold, it's wet. Hey, Zeke's coming on the... Oh, now you don't bark. My dog comes on. If you're watching this, you can see the dog. If you're listening to this, well, imagine there's a dog, a very cute dog here. Check out Tzatziki Time. I can't spell it. Spell it how it sounds on Instagram. He's famous. He's more famous than me, this dog. But yeah, check out Jammu Tonic. Great in the winter months for getting rid of colds, keeping them away. I think me and James have both had, we've been talking about it the other day. We were burning the candle at both ends, doing good boy stuff, working out, exercising, doing business stuff, and doing naughty boy stuff, drinking too much, eating a bit of shit, you know, basically packing a lot into the day. And we've both had colds kind of coming on a few times, and we've pumped ourselves up full of Jammu and then kept firing ahead. So we've still managed to get rid of the colds so far and not go full-blown, but still doing the naughty boy stuff, so we feel a little bit under the weather. But, you know, I can't say it definitely did everything, but I've been doing everything wrong and everything right to try and, that should lead me to be sick, and everyone around me is sick, and, yeah, Jammu is the only thing I'm doing differently, so it's either that or I have been kissed by a fairy. Exclusive for our podcast listeners, I'm pretty sure I haven't released this anywhere. Use the discount code DCEPODCAST, no spaces, and you get 20% discount. We don't normally give 20% discount, normally get 10% discount. But if you're listening to us, all the mums out there, 20% discount for you to say we love you, thank you for listening to the podcast. Also, make sure you check out Tiny Sumo Talk Time if you would like to hear more of our last podcast guest, Dylan, but he runs a podcast on MMA and fight specific stuff. If you enjoyed him talking shit with us on the podcast, his podcast, nothing like that, except for the other night where we kind of hijacked one of his little things and made it nonsense again. But normally Dylan's podcast is about fight for specific stuff. He speaks to world champions. He speaks to, I don't know how he manages to do it. It's probably because he looks like a young Jason Statham, but he manages to get interviews with very, very, world-renowned fight champions, fight coaches. Niche though, you know, he's not talking to Conor McGregor. Your mum checking out news.com isn't going to know who these people are. But if you follow Fight Sports, you're gonna recognize some names. And yeah, it's a good podcast. I suggest you check it out. Just don't feed him after midnight. He's a gremlin. You feed him after midnight, then he's your problem. Cool. That's out the way. So today's guest is Sam Yang. We get into it in the podcast eventually, but Sam runs All Out Effort and he has the Must Triumph podcast, which was what people would know him for at the moment. We've been Facebook friends for many years, but as I said in the podcast, it was back when you couldn't follow people. People didn't have pages for their business. So, you sent someone a friend request when you liked their blog or you liked what was going on. So I've been following, his blog for a while. I've just got into his podcast. I shared one on our page the other day. I highly recommend you check it out. It was on, I think it's called The Grey Wolf, but it's about that old, allegedly old Cherokee story about the black wolf and the white wolf inside all of us. But it's got an interesting take on it. So I suggest you go check it out. They're only 15 minutes. So, you know, if you can put up with us waffling for an hour and a half, you can certainly spare 15 minutes to talk, to listen to an intelligent man talk about something worthwhile. Cool. So without any further ado, enjoy the podcast.
I'll kiss you on the lips and take you to Italy.
That is a classic.
Shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Anyway, no time for nonsense. Gotta get down to business.
I'm gonna get straight to the point. We've got no time for nonsense.
No time for messing around. Straight to the point.
No time for fluffing about. You're straight to it. Just straight to the point.
Just gotta get on with it.
Better not be honey getting me, bro.
Don't you look at me in that tone of voice. I'm Peter Zane. Now, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce to you from the depths of our twisted imaginations, the DCE Pirate Radio Podcast.
It doesn't make any sense.
The Pirate Radio Podcast, my friend.
You're such an idiot.
Hello and welcome to DCE Pirate Radio 41. It is 41, I reckon. Good guess. I should check these things beforehand. Sam literally just asked us if this is a comedy podcast or a professional podcast. And
Sometimes I wonder too.
But today's guest is Sam Yang. He runs All Out Effort and has the Must Triumph podcast. I literally just said that and I'm looking up to read it off a page. And I get nervous in this intro every time. So I might not try play to my strengths and not try and do an intro where I'm obviously going to fail and just literally have that conversation we just had again about, you know, you're one of those people that I was Facebook friends with, along with Robert Whittaker and Jack Slack from back in the day when you couldn't follow people. So if you saw someone on the internet that you liked, you just sent them a friend request so you could see their new things. And yeah, and I've been kind of following your blog, depending on what the Facebook algorithm wants to show me and what it doesn't want to show me for probably 6 or 7 or more years now.
Yeah, probably part of this relationship is much, probably like 50% of it has been cultivated by the Facebook algorithm. So what we know of each other is what the Facebook overlords want us to know.
Exactly.
Can you imagine when people's wedding speeches start including that?
I was going to swipe left and I swiped right.
I first met my wife on the internet and because the algorithm showed me 72% more of what she was doing, I found myself interested and followed her.
Yeah, I wonder if Facebook actually makes you closer friends with some people just because of the algorithms, because they're just putting them in front of your face all the time.
We heard about, again, completely off topic immediately. This is how a podcast works. But did you hear about, I forgot the name of the podcast. I'm a terrible podcaster shouting them out, but hey, they're super famous. They're one of the top 10. But they were talking about these like thought experiments that Facebook were doing, where they were purposely showing certain people all positive things and then purposely showing other people all negative things. And then they were measuring their interactions, and yeah, there was some horrible results, as you can imagine. They got in a little bit of, well, not, they didn't get in much trouble for it because, hey, you know, I heard about it on a podcast somewhere, but yeah, it's a bit creepy when you find out what technology can do sometimes.
Yeah, actually, I don't even think that's that off topic because, you know, this whole thing is how we came together in the first place. Technology brought us together. You're aware of my podcast mostly through Facebook. That's how a lot of the listeners engage with me. So it's almost like it doesn't exist unless it happens on Facebook or Instagram. So now that people aren't watching as much TV and there's a new medium of podcasts, it is these new social media technologies that validates your existence and puts you out there in front of, you know, eyeballs and ears.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the bit that I'm still trying to navigate my way through it, but the bit that's coming clearer to me is it's not the same as having a conversation with someone. Like if me and you are standing face to face, like I suppose we control this. We're having a conversation. So this one can be a conversation, but your interactions on social media, it's through a lens or there's something artificial about it. It's not real. It doesn't play by the same rules that, you know, humans have used for 4,000 years or 200,000 years, depending on who you ask. we read social cues, we read facial structure, we read things and we expect, you know, if I see you being an asshole to me 10 times, I can just assume you're an asshole, you don't like me. Whereas in a social media setting, I might just see the 10 bad things you did last year and I've missed everything else about your personality and I think that you're an asshole. It's a weird thing to get used to.
Yeah, it's curated. I was just talking to another podcaster about that today, about the things Facebook feeds us. Actually, I'll give him a shout out. His name is Daniele Bolelli. He has a podcast called History on Fire. I always can I cuss on this?
Yeah, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Okay. Well, now I don't need to say it, but it was about to blurt out, but But I always like mess up the name. I always call it like History of Fire, and that's not what it's about. It's not the History of Fire.
It's one episode.
And yeah, I mean, he's been on Joe Rogan like tons of times. That's like the podcast mecca. So he's like a made man now through that. And
yeah,
we were talking about Facebook and the algorithms, and it's just the types of fans we have.
Yep.
And sometimes we'll look at our fans and then we'll click on their profile and we're like, oh, we have fans that are also like sometimes, you know, white nationalists or you know, like, or just somebody really like a bad person. And it's like, how does that end up? How do they end up even finding us? And yeah, a lot of that happens through Facebook, what they decide to show these people.
Yeah, and I guess you can't control who engages with. Like, that's part of my, like, I'm not a technophobe, but I'm certainly less inclined to adopt technology, I guess, than some people. But you can't control that. But that's part of the reason you can't control who's going to listen to your podcast and like it, or what they're going to write on your, like, what they're going to write on your posts. Or yeah, it's completely you're putting your thing out there, and unfortunately some people that are bad people might also like the things that you're saying and engage with it. Or Facebook might be like, oh, you know, this is engaging content, I'm going to show it to a heap of people. Like, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, that's okay. If they want to donate to my Patreon, that's okay too.
Yeah, I heard that on one of the podcasts of yours I was listening to the other day. I don't know what Patreon, I assume it's like a crowdfunding website.
Exactly. Yeah, just from hearing the idea and have hearing podcasts talk about it, you figure it out that it's a way for us to get money for free. So
yeah,
does that, like, I've been looking at that, and I've always wondered about Patreon. Is that, do you get much success from it? Because I know that's obviously where a lot of people get their moolah, yeah, to keep the podcast free and for the people. But I generally have a bad opinion of people. just imagine that if you could get it for free, it would only be a small percentage that would then go out of their way to go, oh, and here's a couple dollars for all your time, effort, and the thing that I really enjoy.
I think it depends on how you approach it. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do it going into the future, because right now I don't have that many patrons but I have some other friends, who have podcasts. Like, I live in Los Angeles, so there's
Everyone's
actually
got a
quite.
Podcast.
I'm sure, but there's only a handful of people who make a living. So some of the guys, some of my friends I know, they've decided just to use Patreon instead of advertisers.
Yeah.
So I think people donate to them because it's like a direct relationship. So that way, then they don't need to use advertisers. So they'll never have to be beholden to them. So then whatever you're getting is what they really feel like. And you know who's done that a lot? Sam Harris talks about that a lot on his podcast, Waking Up, where he purposely chose not to have advertisers so he can speak completely freely. And so he's completely reliant on, you know, his patrons, and he's doing good. Some of the top guys on Patreon are making like hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's funny, actually, when you, because I think this is probably, other than organizing this is the first time me and you have ever actually spoken directly, and you're just listing these people that you're talking about. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's my podcast list. They might not be my, I might not listen to every episode, but they're in my 15 that I've got subscribed to that I download every once in a while. It's funny how much similarities you have with people when you start to talk to them.
Yeah, it's Facebook, yeah. Man, the algorithm's
pretty good.
They're pointing you guys in the same direction. They're like, okay, they're both like BJJ. No, we're going to expose you to these mediums.
Well, I mean,
Overlord, get out of my brain.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's already a group that already listens to podcasts. And I think that's also part of why something like crowdfunding works, is because you're talking to people who've already listened to a bunch of other podcasts. So they know how it works. They know how it goes. Whereas if you were trying to get somebody to listen to your podcast for the first time, if they've never listened to podcasts, they might be like, why would I donate to your thing? I don't even know why I should listen to podcasts in the first place. So you're kind of preaching with Patreon to already a crowd that values what you put out. So actually, it's not as small a percentage as you would think. So I think it's giving podcasters another avenue to make an income, so they could do this for a living.
Yeah, you're talking to people who get it already. You think getting money out? You think that's difficult? Try starting a podcast with a business partner who has no idea what podcasts are.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I've got him on 41 podcasts.
Nah, 35. The last six I've been on board, because I've got a camera now. I can see myself.
You got to play to your crowd.
The little monkey in my brain with the symbols is doing little like backflips now.
It's interesting with Patreon.
In front of myself.
I can see Patreon taking off with I'm sure you're aware of this with the Alex Jones being kicked off of all platforms.
Now, yeah,
he says some horrible shit sometimes. To me, I've seen a couple of his videos. He seems like your crazy uncle a little bit that has a camera and people pay him lots of money. But like, what are your thoughts on then bulk being kicked off of everything?
I have a couple of thoughts about it. If I were to use like Alex Jones or some of other provocateurs, their own internal logic, then it may, because so much of the, like Alex Jones and a lot of the conspiracy theorists are very right wing.
Yeah.
So what is the enemy, especially nowadays, is socialism. But they're complaining about a corporation that's doing what it wants. And in a free market, a corporation, a business can do whatever it wants because it's not a public entity. And if the free market doesn't like it, then people stop using it. So it's up to the market to decide. So it's kind of a weird thing where them complaining about it is very anti-libertarian, even though their internal logic is libertarian.
Yeah, I get you. That's the bit I struggle with, because I generally, that's the word I'm looking for. There's two close words. So I can't speak, so my opinion might not be that important. But usually the live and let be libertarian approach sounds appealing to me. But then we get into specific situations and it doesn't work out. It's hard to just let everyone do whatever they want, especially when you start to have monopolies. So like, yeah, it's a weird one. I don't know the answer, but it does to call into question some of those libertarian beliefs.
Well, for me, I don't care what people believe, so long as what matters to me or what I respect is if they can stay coherent to their own internal logic and not flip-flop around if it doesn't suit them. Like, he has his own terms of service on his own website where he could kick whoever he wants out of his community at any time, just like he defends, you know, bakers to say, no, I'm not going to make a wedding cake for a gay wedding because that's my right as a business owner. And so Facebook is not a public good. Maybe socialists, that's what they want. Then that's a different argument, but it's a for-profit business doing what it wants.
Yeah. Well, that's the argument I've heard, is that, social media needs to become a government run and moderated thing. And I see arguments both ways, but it's certainly not a libertarian viewpoint to give more power and control to the government.
Yeah, that's why it's weird that they're sounding socialist. Because then it becomes, your beliefs become arbitrary. It's whatever suits you at the time, which actually becomes like the most unjust kind of philosophy.
So what's because, the issue with that? So this is the dude that's been kicked off the internet.
Essentially, he got kicked off of Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. I think that's it. At the same time, that's the bit that freaked people out, because it was a coordinated between multiple companies to do it on the same day.
Yeah, right. And he could just open another account, I assume.
Maybe. I don't think that would work for him.
Okay.
Well, he has his own website where you can watch all his videos too. He exists on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he hasn't been completely, he's just been taken off the mainstream channels. People that still want to watch him can go watch him.
Yeah, yeah. So all that really prevents is new people from finding him. But all the people who already know him know his website, so they could just go there.
Yeah.
So then it's really a thing about, does he have the right to be popular? Because all these platforms can do is just make you more popular. Mm. Whoever knows you already knows you, knows your website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's hoping if I stay on these platforms, I'll get through the algorithm and through these ads, new fans. And it's like, do these companies owe him that popularity? Because he's already known. He already has enough followers to keep his business running and sell supplements and whatever, right?
Yeah, I think
so. It's not even about freedom of speech or corporate control of speech. It's about popularity. Like, does he have a right to remain popular? And if a company that controls popularity says, "Nah, I don't want you on my platform anymore," they can do that.
Yeah. I'm a more of a, you're a private company, kick whoever you want off. Because I think it'll actually lead to the companies, like a new company arising and people not using it anymore. If they get too egregious, I suppose the only issue with that is if they are a true monopoly and there's nothing you can do to start your own thing. Because I personally don't think you should be kicking people off your platform if they're not directly calling for violence. But maybe, you know, I don't watch enough of his videos. Maybe he was. But it is my knee-jerk reaction is that worries me when big companies get together. To me, it's the same thing as we were talking about with the Facebook algorithm, is that it's that company is now deciding what I need to see and what I don't need to see. And I enter into that agreement when I click accept to their terms and conditions. But I think a lot of people don't, or they're just starting to realize what they actually signed up to. Yeah. I think that's what it is that people don't, this has always been the game and people are just starting to realize that, oh wait, no, this is a private company and they, like, if something's for free, you're the product.
Yeah.
And I think people are just starting to realize that.
Also, I think, for a lot of people, Facebook is their internet. They don't go into the internet any other way. So
I do.
So people who never use browsers or Google, which actually now there's a lot of people who only use Facebook for everything. They don't Google or search anything or even click in actual URLs and go to visit websites. To them, they probably, the idea that being kicked off of Facebook is different from being kicked off the internet is like an abstract idea. They can't see how they're different because they've only existed in a time when Facebook was their internet.
Yeah.
But they are very different.
Yeah, it's an interesting argument because it's one of those things which I actually like about myself is I genuinely see both sides. Like I can see the argument from both sides, and that's why I don't want to be the CEO of Facebook, and that's why I don't want to be the president of America. I don't want to make those decisions because they seem real hard and I don't know the answer.
Yeah. I don't know what I think about it. I mean, I try not to have too many things I believe.
Yes.
I try to care about very few things so that way I can maximally care about those things. And the other things I just can't be bothered. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care if Alex Jones isn't on there or not, because I think people get too symbolic. They're like, this symbolizes this, that will lead to that. And it's like, I don't know, maybe I don't care. Like, I'm not that symbolic. I'm much more of a literal person. What's materially happening. And also, I guess we could go back to my podcast, the whole philosophy and how I try to approach it is, you know, if you ever read, like comic books in the Marvel universe, there was this like alien god creature where all they did was observe.
The Watcher?
And they never, huh?
The Watcher?
Yeah. Yeah. The Watcher.
Yeah.
So you just like watch, but or it's also similar to the Star Trek Prime Directive. You just watch, but you don't have like an opinion either way. You're just like, this is how it is.
Yeah.
And you're trying to be as unbiased as possible.
I think Mr. Manhattan gets involved. It's hard not to get involved when you got an 8-inch Wang hanging out. He's just got a loaded cannon. He needs to get involved.
I think it's bigger than 8. I was going to say, I'm pulling it back. We've gone down a rabbit hole. You started introducing Sam. I still don't really. I've listened to a couple of your podcasts. I'm assuming, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm assuming there's at least my mum, if not a couple of mums listening, that don't know who you are. So
I'll do an intro. This is why I do an intro beforehand now, because we can't do the intro in the podcast. We get too far off topic. But ask your questions.
I would just like to know how you started, where it all began 8 years ago when you and Matt became Facebook friends and we fell down a algorithm rabbit hole.
No, this is how Joe Rogan does it, so this is good. You guys are in good company.
Yeah. But when everyone's sick of Joe Rogan, be like, Joe Rogan, I'm sick of him. Let's listen to these two idiots.
Let's listen to these idiots.
Yes. There's double the trouble, so it's better. It's like exactly. Twice.
Ooh. And if you do it by height, it's like two and a bit the trouble.
Yeah. If we stack you guys on top of each other, that would be something.
The world's most giant doctor.
Somehow we got a medical degree out of that.
Nah, scrubs. It's scrubs.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I think, yeah, I, you know, ever since I got on the internet, I've always been doing something, just like blogging, or even before that, there was a term for blogging. I was just writing my thoughts on the internet. So I've had several iterations of just having some kind of following on the internet, and it's kind of changed over the years. And I think when I first met Matt, I had a blog called Inner BJJ, and it was mostly dedicated to
BJJ.
My thoughts on jiu-jitsu, but like more of, instead of, I don't know, fawning over who your favorite people are, more of the intellectual side of it, or the mental side of it, or what goes through somebody's mind, or like I wrote a breakdown about what my thoughts on like flow training, to what is aliveness, to stuff like that. And then after a while, it's like, this is just all metaphor for living.
Yeah.
So I started just taking lessons I got on the mat and just started applying it to life and started writing about that. And then after I did that for a while, I was like, oh, maybe it's time to turn this into a podcast. So here we are.
And so it started off as a podcast just about BJJ, or?
No, it's the podcast is fairly new, started this year, but it's grown pretty quickly. But no, it started from the beginning, kind of, I don't, you know, it's hard to explain my podcast, but every episode.
Trust me, I get you.
Well, every episode has a different topic and a different format.
Yeah.
Yep.
So every episode is like a different podcast or a different show, but it's always from like my perspective
of things.
I guess it's combining storytelling and philosophy with music.
Yeah, so, right. I was listening to you sent it to me.
The Grey Wolf.
Last week, which yeah, I found in like it sort of resonated with me when at the beginning of the podcast you were saying how, you know, you can forget, like people can show you facts and figures and graphs and people will forget that immediately, but storytelling is the way to be remembered. Like it's a big part of, yeah, a lot of things I've done. Like I guess that just sort of connected with me.
Yeah. And a lot of things I do, I mean, even speaking, going back to like other podcasts, I don't want to be basic, like, you know, what the kids call basic, where it's just like real generic ordinary.
Sure.
So even with the two wolves story, it's been on the internet,
yeah,
you know, forever, and everybody said it. And I was like, but this story doesn't even sound right. This doesn't even sound like something like real native Indians would say. And so did some trolling around the internet and put some stuff together. And I was like, okay, I'm going to make a twist on the story that everybody thinks they know and give you other philosophy about it that might be even more helpful, which includes everything before plus some other things to think about.
Yeah.
So I'm always constantly trying to do that, where it's a fresh take, not the same thing you heard, you know, on a bunch of other podcasts. Because they all seem to like start saying the same thing.
You've actually, instead of, well, it's like one of Matt's biggest pain points with any inspirational quotes is that people regurgitate them without actually, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, they regurgitate them without actually, like, without
understanding what they're saying
and not displaying the qualities. Like, I've jokingly called out a few people over my time of, you know, preaching one thing but not practicing it. So yeah, it shows that you've taken the information on board and added to it, not just gone like, oh, the two wolves, man, like, feed the good one.
Here's a picture of my ass.
Here's a picture of me at the gym wearing no clothes. It's like, ah, okay. I don't get it, but cool, man.
Yeah.
I like wolves. That's a nice story. I'll give that a like. Thanks.
Yeah, there's like there's a funny meme where it's like of people sharing like some philosophy quote like of Nietzsche or something, like some quote, and they're like, the meme was a meta meme, whereas a meme about a meme, where it showed a meme of Nietzsche and it said, eventually you should stop just reading the memes and read the actual philosophy.
Yeah.
Nah, it takes too much time.
Nah, no time.
They don't have, where's that on Facebook?
Yeah.
So yeah, I wanted to do that. I wanted to have like the sentiment or just have like the sensibility of the meme culture, which I'm a big part of, the whole internet culture. That's what I call a street level philosophy, because I'll read all the philosophy books, but I also like internet culture and also like martial arts culture, which is much more practical. So I'll try to put it in terms that I find interesting and I think resonate with people who kind of, you know, grew up on the internet.
Yeah. So, and so do you work in IT, or like, did you work in a similar field, or this was like a completely alien hobby? Not alien, but yeah, like a completely hobby.
Yeah, I didn't come from IT, but I don't know. There's a lot of dudes who just like are on their computers all the time. So they know their way around the internet and what's happening. And I think I've been on Reddit since inception and, you know, all the stuff before that. So, I guess you acquire some technical knowledge just from being on the internet for a while and reading a bunch of stuff. And so I was listening to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And I found myself not reading that many articles as much before, or reading blogs anymore. And I was just listening to it.
Mm.
That is a transformation. Cause following your page was part of, I'm not going to pretend that I'm like, I modeled everything that we did off of you. Cause I'm not going to lie to you, but like seeing, you know, yourself who's someone that I'd never seen on TV or anything. And then you had a blog style, you were able to put your information out there. That was kind of one of the things that was rattling around in my brain when we started what we were doing. But I think we missed the boat. And exactly that point you were saying there is that people don't read anymore, or they don't read the blogs as much. It's all videos, flashing lights and kind of nonsense now. A lot of it, it's hard to find it. Whereas if you go over to a podcast, you don't need to worry about clickbait, because you're like, well, I trust that person, so I'll listen to what they have to say and I'll see what they bring me. Opposed to trying to follow someone's blog is a bit harder these days, I think.
Yeah, it becomes part of your routine. Like when you're driving, you listen to a podcast, or when you go home and you log onto your computer, maybe it automatically goes to like your favorite YouTube channel, or, you know, everything's set up around a kind of a passive experience. You know, sad to say, but like reading is still active. Like you have to use your imagination a bit.
Yep.
And when you're dead tired from working or whatever, even using your imagination is tiring. So I think people just want to like sit back and have somebody do that hard part for you. So you'll watch a movie about a book instead of reading it, or you'll listen to a podcast or watch a YouTube video, because they'll just kind of put it all out there for you, which, you know, when you're tired, it's nice. So I think that's where things are headed.
Yeah, I agree. And I like your style, because I've probably similar backgrounds, but I like the philosophy, and like, I really like the Eastern mysticism type stuff. Like, you know, your yoga, your Buddhism philosophy, but I don't, like, I like the idea behind it, but I don't want to go down the path of the normal yoga teacher, etc. I really like hearing from someone who then goes, and here's the neuralistic pathways that account for this reaction, or here's how it releases the dopamine in your brain, and while stretching and meditation are scientifically proven to be beneficial for you. I really like that side of it. So it's trying to find people like yourself that it's good when you can track someone down.
Yeah, I think there is a difference between, you know, like the Eastern woo-woo stuff that's just out there and like not helpful to anybody. And just, I don't know, it's just weird stuff versus like people who take it and then put it in a way that's not so weird or...
Westernize it.
Yeah, not even westernize it, but even just like put it into terms that you can use or put it into terms that actually make sense.
Take the cult out of it.
Yeah, make it less about it being like a magical, unexplainable power and actually explain like this is why these things are doing, this is why you're feeling this way after doing these things. It's not actually your purple aura.
Yeah, and I find it really helpful to just teach through storytelling. So
yeah.
I kind of use music and storytelling and just kind of a stream of consciousness kind of essay writing to kind of get people into these ideas without making it all about facts and figures per se or just about mystical mumbo jumbo, you know?
Well, I was having this conversation with someone the other day because I've read lots of books since I was young, but it's all, I always get fiction and nonfiction. It's the make-believe one. It's like your Game of Thrones type stuff. So like I like fantasy books. I've read them since I was a little kid. And I was talking to someone the other day about it because they're on the I need to read more books train. And I consider the reading I do to be very similar to watching TV. Like I didn't necessarily think I was learning anything. And then I look back on it and reflected on some of these things. And the people that are writing these books have all read the philosophy books. They've all read all the boring books. And they're basically just telling a lot of those things through story. And it was interesting the things that I'd managed to pick up reading what I thought was effectively a bit of fun or wasn't really going to get any value out of it. And through the story, you learn about human interaction and kind of motivation. It was interesting. It kind of dawned on me the other day.
Yeah, I've been actually reading. I used to read strictly nonfiction, but lately I've been reading a lot of fiction just because in all honesty, if you're talking about writing, fiction has much better fiction. Yeah. Nonfiction is just like, here's some information. They don't even have to present it well.
Yeah.
Like if you want to be a fiction writer, you got to be good.
Yeah.
So I was just reading, but anyway, to your point, I recently read, I reread Ender's Game.
Yep.
And then I read Starship Troopers for the first time. And I found both of them to be like full of like very deep ideas that obviously these people have read a lot about.
Yes. Yeah.
History and philosophy.
It dawned on me, I was reading a book, and again, I read everything on an ebook, so I can't remember the name or the author, so no one gets any credit for any of these things. But I was reading one series, and the guy had obviously done a lot of research on Buddhism. But it wasn't until the third book that I'd realized that this elf or whatever it was literally just a metaphor for Buddhism. And he was like, by the end of it, he was doing all this meditation, he was going on these, he was having a fight with his ego. It was getting into these real deep ideas, and they tricked me into it. I thought I was just reading a book about an elf.
Why did the hobbits have to stop to eat all the time? I never get past that stuff.
You know, you should.
Why are they eating all the time? This book's boring. We go outside and play sport.
You should definitely remember or keep track of the names of these books if you mention it, so that way you put it in the show notes, and then. And then, they click on the link, they buy the book, and you guys get some cheddar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really good at the business side of this.
Which is ironic.
I thought you guys were trying to make a business out of this thing, man.
And so your podcast now is, it's your full-time business? It's what you do?
I spend a lot of time doing it, but right now it's more investing in it. It's still a long ways away from supporting me.
Yeah.
But it's a nice little, something added on.
Right, if it's something you enjoyed. Like, that's the way I've – since we've been using the camera, we've also been doing podcasts with guests a lot more, which I find, like, if nothing else, I get to have a cool conversation with someone that I maybe wouldn't, you know, I probably realistically would never have ever spoken to you or heard your opinions on things if it weren't for the fact that I'm now talking to you on a podcast. And now other people can listen to you, basically. So, yeah, I found, yeah, it's a much more, it's an enjoyable, it's something fun to do. Who cares if it makes money? If it made money, sweet. If it doesn't, at least I get to learn stuff and talk to cool people and listen to new ideas and, yeah.
Yeah, I think, isn't that why a lot of us start, right? It's kind of, you're curious about something or there's like, oh, this doesn't exist that I want to be a part of. So why don't I just create it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's value in this that's not monetary. Then I think that's the key. Is that I'm getting value out of doing this. I might not be getting financial rewards, but I get value out of doing this for exactly the same reason that James is talking about it. And I think a lot of the idea behind DCE, or a lot of the idea behind what I'd like to do, is that I think there's a lot of people out there that, you know, like James was saying before about, you know, why do the hobbits need to stop and eat? I'm just going to go out and play sport. But there's probably a way you could connect with that person in a different medium and still kind of convey some of these ideas or some of this information. I speak to a lot of people that I think would, if given the chance, would like to go down a little bit more of a enlightened path. They just don't have the access or the mechanism. Whereas, you know, two idiots with the Conor McGregor photo behind him, I'm like, oh, well, I'll see what they have to say for 5 minutes and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can relate with that guy. He's got a Conor McGregor poster. Yeah,
he can't talk good either.
Yeah. It is a weird thing to talk professionally on the internet. I mean, you guys kind of do something different from what I do, because I just do it all by myself and I'm just talking to myself, but you guys are really interacting with people. So yeah, I don't even know what I'm getting out of it. I'm not even talking to cool people on the other end. but it does give me, it forces me to even like read or research more. Cause I use a lot of passages out of books or excerpts to kind of inform my podcast. So I'm always like interviewing in a way dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're teaching effectively.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. Hmm. Sometimes I like to listen to myself and fall asleep, you know, like. Yeah. For some reason, if I hear myself, it's not even exciting. It just puts me to sleep.
How do you pick a new topic? Is it just you stumble across whatever you feel like, or do you have a system?
Yeah, I've tried to explain it to people, but this whole thing, yeah, like you guys were talking about, you guys have to get something out of it. For me, this has to be enjoyable.
Yeah.
So I do everything I can to make it enjoyable, because I spend a lot of time doing it and I'm pretty productive. So I have a good pace that I'm releasing podcasts, and there's a lot of work that goes into each one and research and editing. And so part of that has to be how I pick my topics, meaning I don't pick it that far ahead.
Yeah.
It has to be whatever I'm interested right then and there.
Yeah.
Then I'll spend a lot of time.
You've got to be interested in looking into finding more information about it.
Yeah. So I don't plan two or three ahead. I plan a week ahead and I'm like, oh, I'm interested in this week. Okay. Try to get it done before I lose my interest. And then when I'm done and I upload it, then I'm like, well, what am I interested in this week? And then that becomes my new topic. It has to be very spontaneous. So to use Eastern philosophy, it's called Wu Wei, which is the philosophy of spontaneity. There's a great book about it too. Trying Not to Try. It's written by Edward Slingerland. It's a very accessible book about Wu Wei and Taoism. But anyway, the whole point is that everything has to be playful. And even before I read this book, I was already like this. It just confirmed things that I already felt, which was that I can't force agendas. I got to just go with what I feel like doing it and then do it before I lose it.
Yeah.
And then move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
But, and sometimes I've done that. I'm working on something and I'm like halfway done and I decide, you know, I don't really care about this, and I'll just I won't delete it, but I'll just leave it on pause and move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because if I care about it a lot, I'll work on it.
Manifestation of that. I'm going to do this now. Oh, no, wait a minute. My attention span's gone over there for a minute. I'll put this down and go do that for a little while. Do you ever revisit do you ever revisit your old podcast? Or if you get more new information, do you go back and, like, rebut your previous points? Or?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that might even contradict itself over time, but I'm trying to present all the different things, all the different ideas that you have to think about. So this isn't the philosophy of me or my personal beliefs. I'm just trying to present a lot of ideas as well as I can. So I have no problem doing rebuttals to previous stuff.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of beliefs is too strong of a word, but I've got a lot of ideas in my head that are contradictory. Even back to what we first started talking about, like my thoughts on the whole deplatforming thing. Like I have contradictory opinions on whether, depending on the day, whether I like it or not. It's the world's full of contradiction. And if you can't acknowledge that, if you're so certain, I'm always worried if someone's certain about something because I assume they haven't looked at it from all the angles.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually a thing in Eastern philosophy is certainty is bad.
Oh, really? Yeah.
You should always doubt. Doubt is good. Certainty bad.
Yeah. Question everything.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why I've been drawn to some of the Eastern philosophies a bit more lately is because there's a few things that I've, you know, as you get a bit older, I realize that I think a certain way or I believe a certain thing. And I've just kind of started to contextualize it. One of them being I always, if someone's certain, they always give me a weird vibe. I'm not a huge fan of it. And I've found a lot of these things. Other people have already had these ideas. Maybe if I'd read the book when I was 23, I wouldn't have taken me another 8 years to figure it out for myself. I could have contextualized and understood some of these things a bit earlier.
Yeah, most of the questions we could possibly have already been asked and answered if you look for it. So yeah. I guess you could just kind of go through the struggle and try to figure it out on your own, but that sometimes is very unpleasant. Or you could just use a cheat code and read what somebody else thought about it.
Mm. Yeah. But sometimes you're not ready for the information as well, I believe. There's things I could have read when I was 23 and I would have run, okay, cool, I'm going back out to the nightclub.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I've reread some books where I read it the first time. I was like, this book is lame. And then I read it again and it's like, oh, this book is good.
Yeah.
Or the other way. Actually, it happens more the other way. I read a book. I thought a book was really dope when I was young and then I reread it again and I'm like, oh, this book is bad. What was I thinking?
Yeah. Well, you get more information now.
Yeah.
I'm always distrustful on that certainty thing. I'm always distrustful of someone. If I can find a flaw in their logic, that's my little trick. Again, off topic, but that's my little trick of navigating it is you normally, if you speak to one of those people that's too certain about something, you ask them something about something you know. And if I find a flaw in their logic or if I think they're lying to me about that, I've just got to assume they're lying to me about everything. They're not thinking it through correctly.
Yeah. I mean, you're not taking into account human fallibility. It's human to be stupid. So, yeah. And it's human to mess up. So if you're certain you're not taking that into account, then probably everything else is real suspect.
Yeah. Yeah. You're missing a big part of what this is.
Awesome. I'm superhuman.
Yeah.
Because I mess stuff up.
I don't think it works like that.
Because it takes a lot of intellectual courage to doubt.
Yeah.
You know, you have to really question things. Most of us grew up being taught that questioning was bad. Inquiry was bad. Here are answers that should never be questioned.
Yeah.
Mm. And philosophy is all about finding questions, finding more questions.
Yeah.
And answers that should be questioned. And questions that can't be answered.
How did you find, like one of the things my mum used to say to me, hey mum, she's probably listening, but she's probably turned it off by now. But, she always used to say, Matt, you're a good kid, but your mouth gets you in trouble. And I reckon that was always my problem because school's a perfect one. It's like I had a love hate relationship with a lot of my teachers. It was never neutral. I either respected what they had to say and what they were trying to teach and I listened and I liked to learn, or I thought they were an idiot. Of which I would question them. And then in that, environment, like their power, their control, I'm questioning them being disruptive, I get in trouble. So did you have similar experiences? Like, have you always kind of questioned everything?
Yeah, I was a terrible student, but I didn't hate the school system or I didn't think anything was wrong. I'm just, in that kind of structured environment, I just wanted to rebel against it, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't blame my teachers for anything, but yeah, you know, I was probably a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to have taught me. Like, I would have been, well, exactly. That's the problem, isn't it? Teacher. I feel like I would have excelled in some kind of online learning if I could have just gone into school at lunchtime and recess to get the social interaction and then gone back to my cave and learnt my information by myself. That would have suited me well.
Yeah, I mean, and it's also it's a class. It's not personally tailored, so they have to kind of sacrifice. It's not going to be perfect, or it's not going to be really good for any one of you.
Yeah.
But it'll be kind of good for most of you. That's what a class is, and that's the best they can do. So, you know, I guess that's why a lot of parents, if they can afford it, they hire private tutors.
Is that a thing in America? That's what, and maybe I don't know. Maybe I just wasn't smart enough, but I don't think that's as much of a thing.
Yeah, a lot of people cheat. Yeah.
Okay, maybe I just wasn't smart. Or I was too smart.
Too smart.
Too smart. They couldn't teach me.
Yeah, okay.
They couldn't quartered me.
Oh, mate, you just stay in your little dream bubble.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on what city you live in, but for a lot of the bigger metropolitan areas, tutoring is a big thing. I think everybody wants to give their kids that edge. And I think in a way, right, the podcast is a form of tutoring.
Yeah,
I guess.
Stuff they couldn't get in school.
I got a left ball question for you. Let's take it in a slightly different direction. We don't, I'm not in America. I went to America when I was 20-ish. I haven't been to America for over 5 years. I'm not good at counting either, we've established. But like, all of our information from America is all what we see on the news or what we see through social media. And we've kind of already spoken about how that's someone else's opinion on what's going on. What's it like being in LA at the moment?
In LA, as far as, I mean, the weather is hot, but yeah. There's a bunch of fires going on.
Yeah.
But what do you mean, like politically or
just
culturally?
Like feel. I don't want to specifically say politically because that always goes down a chain. But I'm like, is it the same old, or is it how are things? Maybe politically is the word that I meant to use.
Well, what's, I mean,
the vibe.
Yeah.
The last 10 years, LA has been ramping up overtime and just rebuilding the city. They're all constantly building stuff.
Yeah.
Which, if you know the US at all, if you go to like New York, you're used to that. New York is always under construction. They're always, cause it's so old.
Yeah.
But LA wasn't keeping pace like that. It was a little bit slower. But now they're just rebuilding everything. So in rebuilding and building new things, things are changing very quickly. And also LA is very big. So there's like, you could consider it a consortium of a bunch of little cities.
Yeah. Yep.
So with all this construction and people constantly moving, each little borough is changing very quickly. So some areas that used to be, you know, very run down is now like an art district, or there's a lot of like cool things happening there, or different types of the population is moving in. The food scene is getting even more, I guess, better. Yep. A lot more talent is coming, and it's a lot of fusion of different types of, you know, cultural cuisines. And also LA, yeah, even politically, is a very weird city where you would think it's very left.
Yeah.
Which one's left? But
liberal, but not liberal.
Liberal, right. Left. Liberal. Well, that's the whole big thing right now in the US too, the difference between liberal and progressive, which would be.
Yeah, that would be an example of left.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, actually, that's a big thing too in the U.S. is the left is kind of fighting for their soul, where it's to use like a term maybe you guys would understand is like it's the left would be the liberals and labor, and the in the U.S. it used to be just liberals, And now the Labor Party, which we call the progressives, are like, no, you got to think about us too.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of fighting for the hearts and souls of the thing. Yeah. But anyways.
It's hard. It's hard to put people into a, you're a left or you're a right. Like giving people only two options is an interesting idea in itself.
Yeah. Actually, in the U.S., it kind of goes into this binary system because of the way our Congress and our government works. So I don't know about us.
Yeah.
Do you guys use the parliament?
Yes. Yeah. We don't have a president, though. We have a prime minister. So that's selected by the majority wins. And then that person, that party selects the prime minister. The president isn't.
Okay. Exactly.
Separate. Yeah.
So in a parliamentary system, you could have easily, you know, more than two parties, multiple parties.
Yep.
Whereas in the U.S., because it's not a parliamentary system, if you had multiple parties, then it just dilutes the power. So you could have a president who's party A and a Congress so in the Congress, Senate is party B and the House of Representatives is party C.
You never get anything done.
Never get anything done. And then if it was four parties, it would be even more mixed up.
Yeah.
So part of it,
to have any power.
Yeah. So what people, part of it is what people don't realize is it's built into the structure. Structurally, it just lends itself to two parties. Even if there were three, there used to be more, but then eventually it'll go down again into two parties. And, you know, and even in the way I talk about my podcast, when I talk about ideas or philosophies, it doesn't matter what you think it ought to be. There will be certain things, certain ways things will work out because of the way these systems of ideas are structured or are structured. So a lot of things are what matters is more the system and how it's designed. And so you could have any kind of, you know, very utopian thinking about it, but it doesn't matter if you don't change the structure.
Yeah. And it comes to an interesting argument. Like one of those ones I flip flop on, and I don't live in America, so ultimately doesn't impact me that much. But there's this argument about the, you know, the founding fathers and that, you know, wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. And, you know, it was a magical document that can never be changed. It's perfect. But then on the flip side, I don't trust anyone to change it. So it's a weird idea. It's like, yeah, I completely agree that, yeah, you know, something that someone wrote hundreds of years ago can probably be improved. Everything can always be improved. But then on the flip side, I'm like, I can't think of a single person I would ever want to give power to change the document that my country was based on. So it's a weird
isn't that
one.
Why they have amendments to the Constitution?
Yeah, but who's making those amendments? Like, who's in charge? Who's doing
government,
this?
I assume.
Yeah,
I
but
don't know.
Again, who do you want to be in charge? Like, who do you want to be making changes to the fundamental rights that humans have?
Well, humans in America.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I assume we have a constitution too. I don't know.
Well, in the U.S., you have the systems of checks and balances. So you have. You have the Supreme Court, you have Congress, and you have the president. So they all kind of counterbalance each other out to, you know, make sure. Yeah. But, you know, we have things now called lawyers. So it doesn't even matter what it says on there. The interpretations can change based on legalese, based on whoever's in charge. So.
Yeah, there are some interesting interpretations where, I don't know, maybe I'm just a dumb, but I don't see how you. How you could possibly have interpreted that from that.
Yeah, that's why so much of it is about, you know, who has the better lawyer.
Yeah. Which is difficult.
It's all words. It's all based on words, and words aren't precise.
Storytelling.
So you could, yeah.
There we go.
It's open for interpretation. So
he took it out into left field and he brought it back.
So long as it's made up of words, people can start arguing over what that can mean.
Yeah.
Even if it's out of left field and common sense says no, then that's why they have to make a good argument. And yeah.
So
it's that kind of a document that's already in flux because things have changed, but our interpretations is changing. And then trying to change something that's constantly being changed anyway. I don't know. I don't know how we're going to get anywhere.
Yeah. But the sun's still in the sky. The cars still run in America. Cause we got kind of a, it's all falling apart. It could end at any moment, depending on what TV channel you put on, which I assume is bullshit.
I actually follow a lot of like Australian social media people, and it seems like there's a lot of interesting things going on over there. People fighting for the hearts of the internet. Who has the better trolls over there?
Yeah. Well, it's a country founded on convicts. So
yeah,
you know, that we're troublemakers to begin with. And then we've just added, you know, it's convicts and then immigrants. So again, like that kind of change mentality is very different from, well, probably America is probably a little bit the same because people would have gone there, but it's a different from, you know, some of your European countries where, you know, this country's been around for X number of hundreds of years, you know, where our country's kind of founded on change, I think. So there's a little bit more room for that continuous improvement.
Yeah, it's hard to get your act together in a couple hundred years, you know.
Yeah.
You're just getting your sea legs in the first 200.
Yeah.
Well, you don't find as many blindly patriotic Australian people, and the ones that aren't
patriotic to Australia. Yeah. They're like, I love England, or I love America, or I love Italy. That's like where I came from.
Yeah, it is interesting. It does make for a different dynamic. I guess we just find different stuff to argue about.
Yeah.
It's not guns and, well, yeah, guns.
It is funny though, because in Australia now, I think about it, a lot of people do identify themselves based on the country that their probably grandparents or great grandparents came from. Like, you know, if someone asked me what nationality you are, I'll say, oh, you know, I'm part Italian. Whereas really it was my grandfather that came over here, I don't know, 50, 60 years ago. I'm like, well, you're Australian. You're born here. Your parents are born here. You're Australian. But it's a weird dynamic. I don't know if people have that in other countries. Whereas a lot of Australians will identify with a secondary country.
Yeah.
I'm Australian, but I was born in England. And I don't even have an Australian passport, but I don't identify as an English person anymore.
Yeah.
But does that make you fancier? Are you considered fancy because you were born there?
No. When we first came here, it was detrimental. Everyone used to make fun of me, but now heaps of us have migrated here. So
England's pretty small.
It's become
and
more
it's
normal.
Sad
now.
And it's wet.
It's a bit like Melbourne. It's like a more highly populated Melbourne. It's cold and wet and everyone's sad all the time. Sorry, Melbourne.
In the US, there's a lot of that going on. I wrote a funny post on Facebook where I said, you know, a lot of times the people who are most upset about immigrants, whether they be illegal or legal, are the same people who, in another sentence, without any irony, brag about how they're like, I'm half Italian or I'm half Irish, you know? You're hating on immigrants, but then in another, you don't even realize you said that, and now you're talking about how you're so proud of your half Irish heritage.
People are
stupid.
People are full of contradictions.
Yeah, people just don't think about things. Mm. And people are just dumb. Which is it's infuriating in itself. Where you get them here, people that people got all these bumper stickers a while ago saying fit in or fuck off. So saying that, you know, you have to assimilate to the way that we live, or go back to where you come from. And then a heap of like Aboriginal people got all up in arms about it because essentially we came over and just fucked up there what they were doing.
Not that long ago.
Not that long ago, with absolutely no regard for what they wanted or cared about. But yeah, all of a sudden we've become these like entitled white folk that are just like, oh, fit into how we want to do things or go away. It's like, oh, right, okay.
Well, even the weird culture wars on people's bumper stickers, like on their bumpers,
yep,
that in itself is weird. Why is that little piece of car real estate so important now?
Yeah.
What does your bumper say? Mine says this. Oh, yeah, mine says that. And then what happens when two cars are parked next to each other saying different things? Mm. Who has to leave the parking lot? What happens then?
Well, yeah.
What if two cars parked next to each other that says, get out of my country?
Yeah.
Both cars say that. Then which one has to leave? Yeah. Which car has to leave? What? He gets to, they're each saying, I get to stay, but you got to go. But they both say the same thing.
Honestly, it boggles my mind.
I reckon what we should do is just get rid of everyone with bumper stickers. Doesn't matter what it says.
Hey, we've got bumper stickers.
There's 10% on either side. We're just gonna get rid of the cream.
Yeah, we're gonna trim. We're gonna trim the fat.
Keep the 80% in the middle that are halfway reasonable, and then we will all be better.
All right.
I don't have kids, but if I were to, I would point to the bumper of the car that they're gonna drive and be like, "You see this? This is there's nothing on there. Don't put anything on there."
Yeah. Simba, everything the light touches.
It comes back to what you were saying before, though, about certainty. Like, there are ideas that people have that are certain, and they've probably never
thought them through any further.
Never had 5 minutes to just go, let me think this through to a logical conclusion and see if I actually agree with it.
Yeah.
And most people, if you took them down for 5 minutes, maybe give them a psychedelic or two, and actually spoke to them about it, they'd be like, oh yeah, actually, I don't believe that. That's a bit mean. I don't really want people to get hurt. I don't really want this to happen. But people have these ideas and they don't question them. And it leads to mischief.
Because the TV told them.
And it was on the internet too.
Yeah.
The man in the moving picture screen said these people are bad. And so those people must be bad.
Yeah. You know, going back to what we were just talking about, people with pride, patriotic pride in Australia, and a lot of people have national pride, but it's not for the country. Maybe it's their country of origin. But then they could also be xenophobic. It's two things going on. They want to dislike or hate people that are not them, but they also want to have an origin story. Here's my origin story and how I ended up here. So that's why they talk about their heritage or whatever, which... So that's why they could talk about it without any irony, because they don't think that they're saying because I'm an immigrant, I should be pro other immigrants. They're just telling you their origin story. They don't think it has anything to do with their views on immigration. They're like, this is how my story started.
Yeah, this is my country now.
Well, they're running two different programs. This is why I'm special program. And then I'm running my I don't like things to change program. And I've got two different answers depending on which program I'm running.
Yeah, that's why I said earlier about things should be going back to even our very first tangent about Alex Jones and things like that. Let's tie it all together. What I was saying is things should even follow your own internal logic, because if they don't, if they're not even consistent, then it's all arbitrary. Yeah. And like you were saying, one programming for this, one programming for that. I have one set of answers for this, another set of answers for that. And they're completely contradictory, which is what makes them dangerous. Because even if you had a completely coherent idea about how the world should run, some of it will be good and some of it will be bad. But if it's completely incoherent and you're all over the place, you could actually then make it so that you don't have any of the good of this one system of thinking and you don't have any of the good of this other system of thinking, and just combine all the bad and just have 100% bad ideas.
Which is chaos. Oh, and if you put it in a purely IT perspective, which is weird because I don't know how to code, but your code wouldn't work. You know what I mean? Like, if you break it down to its ones and zeros, if your ones and zeros don't make sense, the whole program doesn't work. It crashes.
And then you can't get your Skype microphone to work.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, coding is a system of logic, so you're right.
I know enough to know that I don't know anything when it comes to computers.
Yeah.
That's what Socrates was said.
Oh, yeah.
He used computers?
No, he always said, I know nothing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing he can be certain about.
Yeah.
You know,
the more you learn, the less you know, or something weird.
What would you recommend for someone to get into philosophy? Like, is there any particular book someone should read? Like, most of my information comes from memes.
Memes are good. I actually believe memes are the most powerful thing in the world right now as far as information. Because if you talk to somebody, you're like, how do you know this? Or they tell you a headline, or they tell you about something they heard. They probably saw it or heard of it through a meme.
Yeah. Well, it is a really good way to convey information. It doesn't necessarily need to be good information. But it's pictures and words.
Yeah. I mean, even the way people read articles, they see the picture and the title and they don't click on it. So they only engaged with the meme part.
Yeah.
And people aren't really watching the news as much anymore. They're not listening to radio news. So everything they're getting is from the internet, probably social media. And so all they're getting on social media is mostly pictures and words and just memes. So that's how now we have chaos.
Yeah. I think we've always had chaos. I think we're just starting to realize it a bit more.
Yeah.
But to answer your question about how to get into philosophy, you know, you don't even necessarily need to start with a book, because I think book is a lot. You know, if you went from not reading books at all to having to start reading again, and your first book back is a philosophy book,
it's not.
You know what I think are helpful are there's a lot of YouTube videos about philosophy. I think that's a good way to start.
Actually, I've been looking at The Art of War, and I think it's The Prince by Machiavelli. There's some really good YouTube videos I've been watching on those that are – they're cartoons.
And there you go.
And they're broken up into like four-minute chunks. Again, terrible podcaster. I can't remember the name of it, but type it in. You'll find it. They're like little funny cartoons, and they explain – like The Art of War, it's broken up into 40 different four-minute YouTube videos. You can just watch them. Chapter by chapter.
Yeah. So I think that's an easy way for people to engage with it. There's also a lot of funny philosophy comic strips. Like there's a one called like Existential Comics or something like that. There's a lot of even philosophy comics that can teach you a lot. And then there's a lot of philosophy podcasts that try to break it down that are designed just for beginners. And I think I try to make mine very accessible for beginners also, or all, you know, general audience kind of people. So I think that's an easy way to start. And then from there, if there's certain things that people have, certain philosophies or certain ideas that pulls them more, then that's where the book can come in.
There's the short answer. If you want to learn about philosophy, check out the Must Triumph podcast.
Yeah,
that's the only source that you will ever learn about it. There's no other option.
Yeah.
Or think of it as cheat sheets.
Supreme Lord Sam, hey?
Yeah.
I've been listening to Alan Watts on Spotify recently. My housemate was listening to him. What are your thoughts on him?
Were you sober when you listened to him, or...
It was on in the house, and I came upstairs, and I'm like, am I listening to Charlie Chaplin? Like, I wasn't entirely sure what I was listening to start off with. I was finding him hard to listen to.
He sounds very distinguished, though.
Yeah, he sounds like...
That's half the battle. Sound like you know what you're talking about. People listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I remembered like, I was doing something. I was packing orders the other day. And I'm like, oh, you know, because Matt always tells me how he puts podcasts on while he's doing other stuff and has it as background noise. I could not. Like, I found I'd either stop and realize I'd stopped doing what I was doing and was listening, or then, like, 10 minutes would go past and I'd been packing and I wouldn't understand what was going on because I'd stopped listening. I think the medium of video is better for me, because if I can sit down and watch a podcast, like I can sit down and watch a Joe Rogan podcast.
You're one of those people.
Can't listen to it.
I cannot fathom who watches podcasts on YouTube. Since we've been putting it on our YouTube, our listens, I guess listens is the right word, have doubled. I'm like, who wants to see my face on a screen while I'm talking? Like, don't you want to be doing something? But hey, obviously you've answered my question.
Yeah, because if I'm doing something, I sit down and I do it.
Yeah.
I can't, like, it's surprising for me. Like, this will shock you. I can't. I can't just put
multitask
background noise. I have to commit to, like, okay, this is the thing that I'm doing now.
I think a lot of people who watch stuff on YouTube, if it's long, they do just kind of have it on in the background and they'll do other stuff. It's kind of like keeping fuzz on the TV. It's not everybody, but a lot of, like, I'll do it like that. I'll look at it from time to time while I'm doing other stuff. It's like almost like not even background noise, but a screensaver at the same time.
Yeah.
Where you just want something on the screen.
that you can go back to. I jump in and out of it. I can consume it for 5 minutes, then go do something else, and then jump back in. And I don't really care if I miss 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is you have to be okay with missing stuff.
Yeah, see, I think that's where I fall down. Like, I don't see the point, unless I'm gonna like take it all. Like, it's like, to me, it'd be like watching a movie and then like not watching a few 10 minute chunks of it. It's like, what's the point? I don't know what's going on.
That's why you need a huge list of podcasts where you could put on some of the shitty ones, and then you could just kind of have that one on, and you don't care if you miss anything. Like, I'll do that with really bad movies. Yeah. I won't turn on a good movie where I'm doing stuff, but I'll turn on a bad one if I'm going to do other stuff.
And if I really need to focus, it goes to music.
I just listen to I just listen to music. That's all I do, really.
Mm. But back to what you were saying about Alan Watts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you ever heard of him before?
Not really. I've only, like, literally just the last couple of weeks just dabbled.
So he's like a pop cultural icon, but I think he was more famous maybe even 10 years ago. But he was like this hippie from the 70s and 80s where people were really into, like, you know, like, it was the 70s and 80s weed culture.
Yeah.
Where he was like the go-to weed philosopher.
Makes you'd sense be, now why my housemates were listening to it.
Yeah, you'd have the lava lamp on, you'd be wearing those tie-dye shirts, and you'd be smoking out and listening to Alan Watts or this other guy named Terrence McKenna. Terrence which both heard of. Yeah, both of those guys Joe Rogan talks about a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But Joe Rogan talks about Terrence McKenna more because Terrence McKenna actually talks about weed and DMT, whereas Alan Watts doesn't talk about drugs at all. He's just he's just somebody you listen to while you're smoking out.
Okay.
So there's actually a lot of YouTube videos dedicated to Alan Watts where it's like psychedelic visuals while he's talking.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know if he smoked out or his actual followers did, but it was just kind of like, I think, you know what it is at the time people were so uptight and rigid, they needed weed to kind of like open their minds and make them less incredulous to his ideas and be more open-minded.
Yeah.
So they needed to be inebriated a little bit so that his new ideas and thoughts, especially because he spoke against religion a lot, we're just talking about a lot of the bullshit behind a lot of the major religions. So yeah. If you grew up with that, you might need a beer or you need to smoke something to kind of be like, okay, I'm going to listen to this without getting upset or triggered or defensive.
I'm going
to
respect.
And I think that's why.
See, I found myself either listening, like, yeah, a lot of what he talks about is power comes from giving power. Trying to hold on to power doesn't work, basically. Like, he's yeah. Well, now I think about it, he's a stoner.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I sent you a link to it.
Yeah, I might be able to listen to it. Because it's funny with that, I've never tried to get someone to listen to a podcast, other than in a business sense, but in a personal sense. It's a bit of a personal thing, listening to a podcast or doing something like that. And every time someone's gone, hey, Matt, read this book. Hey, Matt, listen to this podcast. I immediately ignore them. And usually what happens is some period of time, 6 months to 3 years down the track, I discovered it on my own. And then I'm like, this is amazing. I wish I'd found this earlier. But
that's just so I don't know. And I can't say that it's just you, because I've definitely been known to do it as well. But it's definitely part of my personality that I'm trying to work on. It's like, you're my best friend, but
I immediately dismiss your opinion.
Yeah, or anything. Like, no, that's wrong. It's like, okay, well, you know what? I'll just let you get there by yourself, man. Like,
maybe you weren't ready at the time.
Yeah,
also,
maybe the universe, the auras hadn't quite lined up yet. It's definitely that. It's not just that I should be more open as a person.
You should be a better communicator and a better convincer.
It's my fault.
Not my fault. You have done a bad job convincing me.
Oh, we're off the rails. I'm hungry.
Yeah, well, we told you we'd only keep you an hour, and it's been an hour and 20. So maybe we'll wrap things up and try and get you back on again in a couple months and have another chat.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry too.
Well, I suppose it's almost dinner time for you, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, to finish what you guys were talking about recommending stuff and you're not, you know, you dismiss it, I think we all have that experience from other stuff like food. When you're, somebody says, you got to try this and you'll love it. And then you eat it and you're like, this sucks. Yeah. But then you try that same thing like years later and you're like, oh, sushi or whatever it is. It's like, it's good, but you weren't ready at the time. I think a lot of times recommendations are like that, where it's, you're like, you know, people have recommended stuff to me before and it sucked. You know, if it's good, I'll run into it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. You guys aren't so crazy.
Yep. It's everyone else is crazy. I'm perfect.
In every way.
Oh, dear. Crazy people wouldn't have such a professional setup with the microphones.
Exactly. See?
Crazy people can't use Amazon.
No. The mics give you guys street cred.
Hey, exactly.
I thought that's what the poster was for.
Hey.
The poster was to build like familiarity and rapport. I was like, oh, I could relate to these guys. But the microphone was like, oh, but it's business.
Microphone's a bit intimidating. It's like a guy wearing a suit jacket with jeans. It's like he's business, it's up like top, but he's casual, like cargo shorts with a suit jacket.
He has somewhere to be, but also no one can tell him what to wear.
It's literally a mullet, right? The microphone's in the front, but the poster's in the back. So there you go.
It's a fine line between a crazy person and the boss, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you guys wrap things up? What is the wrapping process?
Just stop talking.
Yeah, we don't really have any kind of outro or any finish up. We just kind of go bye.
You guys don't have like a last, last five questions or like, we like to end with the guest where we talk about our favorite pizza toppings or nothing like that,
That's a good suggestion.
What's your favorite pizza topping? We're starting the thing right now.
Yeah, meat. I like all the meats. Yeah, the meats are good.
Well, I've got one. I like
all. What about anchovies?
You know what?
Pizza.
Do you guys like anchovies? I tried it one time and I thought I'd like it, but it was okay.
I'm about the same. I don't care either way.
I like anchovies, but I really liked how you built that sentence. I tried them once. I thought they'd be really good, and they were fine.
Yeah. That's like a lot of things in life.
I'm just out here. I'm having a ball.
It's just a thing. Well, let's finish it off with what's almost like the Jerry Springer final thoughts. Like what if there's one, I suppose, message or one thought you wanted to get out or one thing you wanted someone to read or listen to, what would be your recommendation?
Today.
Right now.
Besides the Must Triumph podcast, actually there's I think people should just support podcasts in general, not just mine, but yours. There's so many good podcasts. Like I was saying, Daniele Bellelli has a good history podcast called,
Can you you're gonna say it with a hat? I feel like you have to go Daniele Bellelli.
Daniele Bellelli. Got a good one. Professor friend of mine named Barry Lamb. He has a good one called Hi-Fi Nation. And then you guys mentioned like Joe Rogan. He's another. You know, he comes out with so much stuff. You could have five different fan bases following him, all different kind of fans. So,
well, he's my intro to podcasts. Like I see him as almost like a podcast. Oh, really? A podcast. So you meet someone. Everyone who comes on his podcast has a podcast, and you just go and listen to the interesting ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all kind of incestuous. They all just kind of interview each other.
Yeah.
Oh,
they always have guests. Because it's each other.
Kind of like this, yeah.
Have you seen or have you listened to his podcast with Dan Bilzerian?
No. Yeah. No, I skipped that one.
Yeah, good skip.
Oh, I think that's good, dude.
Nah, well, I don't know. I got like 25 minutes into it and I was like, come on, man. I'm not a 14-year-old boy.
There's a lot of 14-year-old boys out there, though.
Yeah, I guess. And they make me just like, oh, I'm like just banging all these girls and there's so many girls and girls and just bang, and I'm just like, can you talk about it?
So you're saying I need to request that email that I sent Dan Bilzerian to come on the podcast back?
Yeah, bring me just...
James doesn't want to talk to you anymore, mate, sorry.
I mean, I'm well aware of him, and it's like, maybe you guys feel this way, but I'm in my 30s, so I'm like, Dan Bilzerian, what am I supposed to do with him in my life?
Yeah.
me as a 30-year-old dude, I'm not like, I need more Dan Bilzerian in my life. How can I introduce more Dan Bilzerian in my life and try to see how he can influence me? You know, maybe I'm not his demographic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, but he's going for it.
Good on him.
He's going for it.
And that's kind of a lot of the stuff on the internet. It's maybe you're not who's targeted to. Find the stuff that speaks to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of options out there.
Yeah, I just wondered. It was one of those like closing thoughts. I'm like, oh, I listened to this the other day. I wonder if anybody else listened to it.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone else listened to this podcast from 4 months ago.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Coinciding.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for coming on, man. It was a really good chat. I like it's always the same. I'm not surprised when you have these conversations with people, you have a really good conversation. It's funny how conversations work. I'm going to say conversations one more time.
Yeah, you guys are like professional talkers, so.
Yeah.
You guys are pros at this.
Yeah, yeah, well, learned from the best, let's put it that way.
Oh, right.
You guys must talk to each other all the time. It sounds very natural.
No, I try and avoid talking.
Just pisses me right off.
Yeah, he rubs me right up the wrong way. And we've descended back into chaos.
Okay. We should stop now.
Good evening and good night.
Cool, man. Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. We'll stay in touch.
All right.
Yeah, if you're open to it, we'll get you back on again in a couple months.
Yeah, sure. It was fun.
Cool, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.